Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Wait, I wanted to hear the singing. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend, and we are here to hopefully entertain you slightly for the next hour or so, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation. It's very, very important to us. And if you'd care to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or we have a toll-free number. Yes, they ponied up for that at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Our lines are mostly open. We have a couple people waiting, but so give us a call as soon as you can if you have a question for us. Or if you'd like to answer one of ours, give us a couple minutes and we'll give you a couple questions to mull over. Again, that's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Feel free to give us a call. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world. I did it in Sweden, and you can do that by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And
it's found in Swedish.
No, they didn't translate it in Swedish. No,
they would.
No. We're just on the
Josh
KLW
would sound
website.
Good in Swedish.
Yeah. And if you, since the lovely Debbie is here, she will do her usual fine job putting the show up where you can listen to it at your leisure, along with some of our older, deeply classic shows at kalw.org. So, all that being said, we're going to start with the round introductions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman dislikes almonds anyway, unless encased in chocolate or cinnamon.
Thank you. In recognition, where's my voice? In recognition of this new month, Lori Fisher has already celebrated May Day, brought along his brand new maypole to the studio, and is planning a particularly joyous Cinco de Mayo. I don't see the maypole. Where's the maypole? Outside
it's
in the car?
It's display in the, okay. Radio
I'm not,
lobby.
I'm not touching
it's
that.
Radio. Thank you for not touching that. Yeah. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is just back from Sweden, where the lyrics from Minnie the Moocher kept running through his head. She had a dream about the king of Sweden. He gave her things that she was needing.
All right. That
classic
is us.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And, yeah, we missed International Labor Day is May 1st, isn't it?
So it is.
We should be singing the International or something like that.
We did on the way in the car over. Yeah,
was Arise, having, ye prisoners yes. of starvation. That's right. And, okay, we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, well, there is a famous mugshot of Frank Sinatra when he was arrested in 1948. On what charges?
Ooh, I've seen that mugshot.
48.
It's the skinny Frank, right? He's very skinny. Hmm. He's real. It's the very skinny 1948 Frank.
Yeah, he looks
His hair is tousled.
Scruffy, yeah.
Yeah.
Tousled, yeah.
How about this? Was he charged with inciting a riot of young women swooning?
No, he should have been, though.
Yeah,
no,
that wasn't that. It, huh?
All not right. that, no.
1948.
Anything to do with a fight with somebody well-known?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
I thought he was arrested when he was a teenager, too. They had a mugshot of that, but maybe that was somebody else.
He's in his... When was he born? Like 1920?
1915, I think. This is the 100th anniversary of his birth.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I believe
yeah.
he was 1915.
Was it mob related at all? Like a
no,
racketeering
no,
thing?
No.
All right. I don't know.
Huh. Okay. Now, read the question once more.
There's a famous mugshot of Frank Sinatra when he was arrested in 1948. On what charges?
That's a good one.
I don't know. Bothering Ava Gardner, I guess.
And, right, maybe a little later.
Yeah. Right. And, okay, Lori, why don't you go ahead then?
Well, my question's about May Day. So the call of May Day that you give when you're in trouble, where's it come from?
Oh, good question.
Mm. I got this question from Sue Schweik. I got this answer from Sue Schweik, giving her credit.
So,
not the Sue Schweik.
The very.
You mean, so the question is using
the expression
May Day itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it having to do with MD, the initials somehow?
No.
No, okay.
Not medical help, yeah.
Does the answer have something to do with the month itself?
No.
Okay. So it has no relation to just to the
it
month?
It has no relation to the month of May.
Okay.
Good question.
How far back does it go? Can you tell
1905 me? Is when it was came into the language. I think that's when it was.
Because it was first used in a electronic sense?
It might have been a little later. Yeah, it was definitely a call for something to be heard auditorially. So it was something to hear, and that's actually part of it, all hearing right. it.
Well,
it was
going to
replace SOS. SOS was the Morse code version.
Right.
And this, as people got shortwave radios
well, those
and all
two
that.
Words are very, you know, clear is, and coherent.
Is,
Mayday.
Yeah, well, part of it is it
that's
had to
part
be clear.
Of it, but why those?
Is Marconi involved in it at all?
Only that he developed the electronics so that people could
okay.
hear.
All right.
Yeah, and I might have the year wrong, so somebody might correct me on that, but I think it's close to then.
All right. Anything to do with the series of dots and dashes that you would use to
So that was the SOS
it?
One, right? The dots and dashes were all SOS, and that's a long story that I looked up was going to tell, and I won't. But
right.
no, it was going to replace that because instead of using an electronic key, this would be the human voice saying it, and it would
Mayday,
be clear.
Okay.
Mayday was clear.
Right. Right.
And we've lost its origins until it was replaced recently by Sue Schweik.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You guys in sitting?
Hello.
Sorry I wasn't on last week. I was celebrating my birthday.
Oh, we missed you.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't on last week either. So
yeah, we thought you didn't call because Dana was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a mugshot of Frank Sinatra. What's the charge of contributing to the delinquency of a minor?
Jerry's
well,
mulling
not,
it over.
Those aren't the...
Like the man... Was it the Mann Act?
No, that's close, Gareth, but it's not what I have.
But I read something about that. I'm just going to get kind of
yeah, it's close, but it's not the phrase that I have.
Nobel.
Yeah. Here's a couple of questions.
Right.
What did Rex Harrison, Lloyd Bridges, and Peter Falk have in common?
Disparate group. Rex Harrison, Lloyd Bridges, and Peter Falk.
Something physical?
Yes.
One eye?
You're on the right track.
Two eyes.
No, no. That's something to do with one of the eyes. It wasn't the real one.
Did they all have glass eyes?
Right.
Oh, well, that's what I was
guessing.
I didn't
know Rex Harrison had a glass eye.
If you look at Lloyd Bridges, I think his left eye is slightly more, a more wider opening.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Hume Cronin also.
Had a glass eye?
Yeah, he had, yeah.
He enjoyed that list.
Years, he conducted a... Oh. Illness, yeah.
No.
My second question. What was the shortest song the Beatles ever recorded?
The shortest what?
The shortest song?
The shortest song the Beatles ever recorded.
Was it Your Majesty's a Pretty Nice Girl?
It wasn't it was Her Majesty.
Her Majesty, is that it?
Yeah, the very last track on Abbey Road.
There you go.
There you go, good job.
How long? What's the length?
It only lasts, I think, about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think so, like 29, 30 seconds.
Interesting.
She doesn't have a lot to say. That was the key line there.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of questions here. What is the country with the highest population that receives the fewest tourists in relation to its population?
Oh.
What is the country with has the biggest population that receives the fewest tourists in relation to its population? I will say, I'll give you the population of the country, which is 129 million.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Afghanistan?
No, not that many people.
It's much smaller than that, right?
Pakistan.
No, not Pakistan.
Okay. This country is bigger than both of those countries.
I can't be absolutely sure about that. I'm just talking about population.
129 million is a big country.
Yeah.
Okay. Will we say, oh, I know people who go there, or is it one where, because I don't
feel like I know you well enough to really to really answer that question.
All right.
So what is the country in the world with the highest population that receives the fewest tourists in relation to that population?
That's a good question.
129 million.
Yeah, and how many tourists?
Well, I will say that last year, so it was 0.029% in relation to 129 million. So it was less than 1%.
Less? But, oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all right.
I don't know. Indonesia.
No.
Indonesia's bigger than that.
Yeah.
And they get lots of tourists.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
yeah,
the Bali,
yeah. India gets tourists, China, Japan.
Right. Right. So, leave
Russia.
That out. No, not right. Russia. Yeah. And second question. Of the what three books of the Old Testament have been made into films using the titles of those books? What are the only three books of the Old Testament that have been made into movies using the titles of those books and the basic story in those books?
And the name of the book, well, Exodus.
The name of the book.
Exodus is one
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, Exodus
right.
is one. Very right. good. Exodus, well, I mean, not Exodus, the 1962 film, which is, has nothing to do with Exodus as far as, it has to do with, we're talking about films that actually tell that story.
Okay.
Their Exodus yeah. is one of them, but it's
but
not
it's
the
not,
1962
it's not the
Exodus.
Salminio, Paul Newman
no, it's
one.
Not. It's
right.
not the
there's an earlier
Eva Marie
Exodus.
Saint one.
Yeah. there's an earlier.
No, there's a later one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I mean, the Exodus. I'll give it credit because it's the Exodus, the one that came out
it's
last
the right
year.
Answer. Yeah. Oh, last year.
Gods and Kings. Exodus. Gods and Kings.
Well, that was the name of the movie.
Yeah.
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 All right.
So.
All right.
So only three books of the Old Testament have been made into films using those titles. In other words, the title of the book in the Old Testament.
Well, I don't think they made one called Deuteronomy. Right?
No, not yet anyway.
And it wasn't very popular.
No.
Leviticus, the great Leviticus.
I think Ryan Reynolds is going to have to do a version of that, but no. But no, so Exodus is one of them. And what are the other two?
And we're talking Old Testament.
Old Testament, yes. Right.
Jerry, list all the books of the Old Testament. You got them.
Right. You've already gone through all the ones.
The Pentateuch, we've got those five nailed. It's after that that Jerry and I are out of contention.
Yeah, sure.
And let's go do a call.
Shamefully.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, am I on?
You are on, yes.
Oh, great. Harris from Emeryville.
Hi, Harris.
The Frank Sinatra question, wasn't that statutory rape?
No, that's not that what I have, no.
No,
I must be circling around it.
You are circling okay. around it, yeah.
And I have a question. What president enacted the Fugitive Slave Act, where a escaped slave that got to the North had to be sent back to their slave owner?
Let me think. So this has nothing to do with the Dred Scott decision, for instance. So I was...
Was this Pierce?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I almost said Buchanan. So let me think for a minute. Hold on. How about... Is it
one of the worst presidents of the United States?
So...
By some historians.
Well, Laurie said... Pierce, who has been voted one of the worst presidents.
Yeah.
Harding.
No. Previous to the Civil War. Has to be before the Civil
George
War.
George Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Bush?
No. So okay. It's before, it's okay, one of the worst presidents. So it must be somebody around the time of, you know, John Tyler, or and it's probably a Southerner or, you know, somebody with Southern sympathies. John Tyler or, you know, Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore.
What do you want me to give you the answer or just leave it out?
It's one of those three.
How about Millard Fillmore? I'll guess him.
It's Millard Fillmore.
All right.
He's the go-to. He's the Utah president.
You there
know.
You go.
Yeah.
He's the what?
He's
okay,
the Utah president.
Thank you.
Right? He's the zero. Well,
oh,
he's the go-to
Utah
guy.
Utah of president. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he was one of the worst presidents.
He seems to be the go-to president when we don't know.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi, Judy.
And for Sue's question, Lori.
Yes.
May Day is help me in French. It's M apostrophe A-I-D.
Absolutely correct, Judy. Way to
Apparently
go.
Apparently you learned this in graduate school in English.
I didn't.
How do you spell it?
M apostrophe A-I-D-E-Z.
Midday.
Oh, see, it's a good thing that Pauline wasn't here.
Yeah. Oh.
But why did they pick that in French?
Because it,
well, it means help me.
It means,
oh,
help
means help
me, and they didn't need it to be in English.
Oh.
They needed to be clear. It meant help me. That's literally.
So if I were in France and I said that, Nobody would come to my aid.
Well, they wouldn't help you, but they'd help everybody else.
Day, all right. Okay.
Thank you, Judy. Great.
All right. And then for Dana's question about the populous country, I'm going to guess Bangladesh.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, nice.
Bangladesh.
Well,
very
that's two good.
Good
okay, let me retire on my laurels.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Nice work.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Hayes from San Francisco.
Hi, Hayes.
The one I was going to say that the country would have been North Korea, but I don't know how many people are in North Korea.
Not 129 million, anyway. No.
All right. What about the books about religion? What about the one called The Bible?
No, I'm looking for a book, an Old Testament book within the Bible.
Within the Bible.
Yeah, right.
And then the other thing, I think Sinatra, because I used to have the poster on the wall. I think he got busted for bedding somebody that was already married.
That's part of it. because everyone's kind of come close.
What's the other part?
Seduction and adultery.
Oh.
Seduction and adultery.
And adultery. I don't know where that probably New Jersey.
Seduction was against the law, huh?
What?
You know what, though? It's lucky it's seduction and then adultery, because it's adultery and then seduction.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You have to do it in the right order, I guess.
Maybe it was a minor. I don't know. Somebody called or mentioned that, so I don't know that part.
Well, the adultery, it was somebody's wife.
Well, minor.
Yeah.
The other thing is,
well, his marriage.
Did you say that was? Was that 48, did you say?
That's what I said. It seems late, doesn't it? Yeah.
I think it was a bit earlier than that, because the picture that I had of him, he looked like he was about 12 years of age.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I got the date wrong. Okay, well, you got it close enough. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ace.
Have a good time.
All right. Bye-bye. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, how many of these dozen secondary characters in musicals can you identify? You can guess.
We got a dozen?
Huh?
You said a dozen?
I have a dozen. I'll name a dozen. You tell me the show they're in and who they played, if you can. And you can only guess, so I'll give you two each.
All right.
Agnes Gooch, G-O-O-C-H. Tiger Lily. Betty Rizzo. Luther Billis. Will Parker. Madam Armfelt, A-R-M-F-E-L-D-T. Frank Butler, Eulalie McKechnie Shin, Mr. Applegate, Minnie Fay, Carrie Pipridge, and Vera Simpson. Okay, I'll give you two each.
Okay.
So you leave a few for the audience.
I have a few. You got them?
I got a couple.
Right. I'll take Eulalie, the great name Shin. She's in The Music Man. She's the mayor's wife in that.
Very good, very good.
And Agnes
Isn't
Gooch,
that a great name?
You yeah, really Shin. Perfect. And Agnes Gooch would have been in Auntie Mame in Mame.
Mame,
she would have been her
secretary.
Yeah, her secretary who gets knocked
who gets
up,
pregnant.
As they say.
Yeah.
Has
very
a song
good,
about
very
that.
Good. Okay.
All right. Dana? I have more, but give Dana a couple.
Mr. Applegate is the devil in Damn Yankees.
That's great.
Vera Simpson.
Bye.
Ray Walston.
Correct.
Yeah.
Also did it in the movie version.
Yeah.
And interesting, Vera Simpson and Agnes Gooch are in the same show, aren't they? Vera Simpson isn't Vera Simpson the
her bosom
Mame's
buddy.
Mame's friend, bosom buddy.
The B. Arthur.
B. Arthur
character.
Did.
That's not it.
Jerry's Isn't that Vera Simpson?
I have her in another show, but that sounds right. Maybe I got my shows mixed
I think
up.
I think you did, because that's her. That's her actress friend, her drunken actress friend.
Okay,
played by B. Arthur.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Well, I
in Mame anyway.
Maybe it's another Simpson in.
And Coral Brown played her in the Auntie Mame, the straight version.
Well, I'm thinking of the woman who played the guy who the woman who keeps Pal Joey.
Oh, that is Vera.
The stripper?
That's a Vera something.
Yeah, that is Vera.
That might be. That might be right.
I thought that was Vera Simpson.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I have to think. I'm not sure.
We'll have to check that out. Okay.
I know for sure that Andy Mame's friend was named Vera. That I know.
Yeah, I don't think it was Vince Simpson, though.
Okay.
But I don't,
and the actress, the Shin, was played by Hermione Gingold. Is that right?
No. Oh, wait.
Yeah, in the movie.
Yes.
It was Hermione Gingold.
Yeah. Very good. Excellent. Yeah.
Who played Agnes Gooch? That was
Peggy Cass.
Peggy Cass.
Yeah.
Very good, guys.
And, I'll do the, since we had a little thing about, wasn't sure about Vera Simpson. Frank Butler is in Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh, right.
That's the sharpshooter who she falls in love with.
Right.
Yes. Correct.
Who played him on Broadway? That I can picture.
Guy not very well known.
Ray Middleton.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Ray Middleton.
And Howard Keelan in the movie.
In the movie version, right.
Yeah.
And that was a real life love story. That Annie Oakley and Frank Butt were married their whole lives.
Yeah.
Well,
died because she died first, and then he died a couple of days later because he didn't want to live without her.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how romantic.
Yeah.
Anything you can do, he could do better.
Yeah, I know, maybe.
Very good. Great line. So, okay, very good, guys. Well, we've still got
a bunch out there.
We're looking for, the audience can try to fill in these, Tiger Lily, Betty Rizzo, Luther Billis, Will Parker, Madam Armfelt, Minnie Fay, and Carrie Pipperidge.
Okay.
All right. Leave it out.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Well, I was calling with Mayday and Bangladesh. But
you had them both, huh?
Oh, there you go. I'll give you a bill.
Anyway, I do think Betty Rizzo is from Greece.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good.
What's that?
Betty Rizzo's from Greece, Jerry?
Yes, right. Uh-huh.
Good.
In the movie, I don't know, on stage in the movie, it was Stockard Channing.
Right.
Yeah, and it was...
yeah, Jerry, you told me.
Adrienne Barbeau,
Jerry's old girlfriend.
No, not an old girlfriend, though. No.
That's a legendary relationship.
Once, but not when, alas, I cannot claim that.
Oh, all right, fine.
I just talked to her about a week ago.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Things are still going well, huh?
Yeah.
So, I have a question.
Yes.
And, by the way, I mean, Joshua did a fabulous job last week with guest moderating.
Why are you telling me this? No, that's okay. I'm glad you did.
With the exception that he cut me off before I got the
interview. Oh, just for that, we'll never have him back again.
Something with that. Anyway. Okay, so a question. In 1976, Alexander Solzhenitsyn fulfilled a lifelong dream and visited what California state park?
Oh. Would this surprise us, would you think?
No. I mean, if no.
Like
I mean,
a Yosemite or something?
Would it be what?
Yosemite?
No. Well, Yosemite isn't a state park.
Oh,
okay.
Mount Rushmore?
No, that's not in California.
California.
I'll
give you a hint. It has to do more with who Solzhenitsyn is and not with nature.
He
didn't visit a nature park.
Muir Woods.
Not a nature park.
Not a nature park. Okay.
Disneyland.
I don't know any other kind.
No, not Disneyland.
Skateboard park?
So it's an official, when you say state park, it's
a California
state park.
Is it Alcatraz?
No.
Okay.
Is that federal or state?
I'm not sure.
But who is Solzhenitsyn? What is he famous for?
A day in the life of Ivan Ilyich.
Yeah, what's he famous for?
That's what he's
writing. Well, he's writing. He's a fiction writer.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Is that anything to do with Jack London?
Exactly.
Jack London's house.
Jack London's
Wolf House.
Historic park up in Sonoma.
Very nice.
Good. Jack London is very popular. Popular in the Soviet Union.
He's very much admired.
Yeah.
Some Russians think that he's the best American author.
Right. Very interesting. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Feel free to join us at area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. You can also call our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And, Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, I had some good reaction to reading the last lines of famous poems, and I'm going to give you five of them and see if you know them.
Something you did last week?
No, I did it the last time you were here.
Oh.
And you got a couple of them.
Did I?
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't ask any good questions while you weren't here. I saved this.
Okay.
The first one is Fallen Cold and Dead, number one. Number two, Or Does It Explode? Number three, And Which Is More, You'll Be a Man, My Son. It's number three. Number four is Sun, Moon, Stars, Rain. I'll read them all again when I'm done. The last one has a couple, is two lines. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. Okay, so I'm looking. These are the last lines of famous poems. Fallen, cold, and dead. Number two, or does it explode? Number three, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Number four, sun, moon, stars, rain. Number five, and what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born.
Well, the year you'll be a man, my son, is if.
By? Give us an author, too.
Alfred Lord Tennyson?
No, Kipling.
By Kipling,
yes, yes.
Well, that's one of the first long poems I ever learned.
Yeah.
By heart?
I used to know it by heart. That and Invictus.
Yeah. Very nice. You want to recite a few lines?
No, okay. I probably could recite Invictus.
That's the only one that I
have. Okay, well, yeah. Maybe
it
after
matters
the show
not how
done.
Straight the Oops. Gate, how charged with punishments the pole. For I am the captain of my. Let's see. Wow. I'm the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Very nice.
Hang
with us, audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good, Jerry. Okay. Yeah. Four more. Got any?
The slouching toward Bethlehem. Yeah. That's it, that. Is that Yeats?
It is.
It's. Oh gosh, what's the name of that poem? All right. Well, I got a little.
Okay, got half of it.
Think
okay.
About that.
So we know it's by Yeats. The slouching towards Bethlehem to be born. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a lot of English majors out there calling in, people.
Not here.
Okay. Not, well, one here.
Just a motley journalism major.
I could put in some doggerel.
And
we don't know no poetry.
No, you don't know any poetry. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Very good. So I'd like to elaborate a bit about Frank Sinatra arrest.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested under the promise that he had sex, promise of marriage.
A what?
And promise of, you know, he had sex with this woman.
Oh, yeah.
Promising
oh,
her that he'll marry her.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh.
You know what happened after that? You know what happened? The charge was dismissed because they found out the woman was married already.
Oh.
Would you do that? Yeah. You have to be careful with women that day and these days. Okay. Couple of very quick questions.
I wouldn't have thought you were a Sinatra.
I wouldn't
follower.
Guess that either. Yeah.
Well, you're a man of many parts.
My best advice to everybody, don't get married. Don't.
Oops, too late for me.
Forget it, men or women. Okay, but I have a very good question for you. All of the prophets and figures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, all of them, each and every one of them, and also more prophets are mentioned in the Quran. With the exception of one. Which one? So you're not mentioned, of course, Adam, Eve, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, not in order, of course, Joseph, David. Everybody is mentioned except one.
Everyone's mentioned in the Quran except
the
one.
Quran.
So, there's a very specific reason for this person not being mentioned?
You can kind of conclude that.
He's very well known?
Very well known.
So, do they say that? Is Jesus considered a prophet?
He is definitely considered a prophet. In fact, there's even in the Quran there's like different stories: the story of Maryam or Mary, the story of Abraham, the story of Jacob, the story blah blah blah, story of David, and so on. But this prophet never mentioned. Actually, very obvious. Think about it a bit.
It's not Jesus.
It's not Jesus. No.
Okay.
Moses.
In the Quran, by the way, is considered
Moses?
A prophet, but virgin birth.
Moses?
Virgin birth. Huh?
Moses?
No, Moses, of course, was this whole story about Moses in the Quran and the Pharaoh and all of that stuff. Okay. I'll give you the answer because it's really obvious. Muhammad himself.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Muhammad right. They never mention Muhammad by name, do they?
Yeah, right. Never mentioned at all by name.
Right.
Or name.
Right.
The angel came to him and gave him the Quran.
Right.
So he was like nobody until then. He didn't even know how to read or write. Question for your audience, very nice question. When you try to make magnets, you always use iron at room temperature. But there's two other elements you can actually make magnets out of them. I'll leave that to your audience. Hopefully somebody will call. There's two other elements besides
iron that you can make magnets
iron
out
is,
of.
Yeah, most of the magnets we do are iron. But there's two other elements, you know, the metallic elements and the very famous one used in cars. Both of them are used really pretty much in cars and... What do you think? What is it?
How about chrome?
That's it. Grom is one.
Oh, very good job.
Grom is one. The second one, it has a coin named after it.
A coin?
Copper. A penny.
No.
That's a nickel. Nickel.
Nickel it is.
There it is.
Nickel.
Very nice. Good hints. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right.
Knocking out those science questions.
Okay. Yeah. Good job. All right. Back to reality. Our reality, anyway. According to Match.com, and I'm doing this for Jerry, you know, when he goes on Match.com.
That's how he met Adrian Barbeau, I think.
Could be. No, it's much previous to that. What are the four words that help men the most to find an online partner? When they put an ad on Match.com, what are the four words? Debbie said, it's, "I have a job." Is are the four words? No, that's not it. Once more. According to Match.com, what are the four words in ads on Match.com in profiles, you know, of men that they found help them find a partner the most?
And so it's not a sentence. These are four.
They're just
words
four separate words. Yeah.
So it's gonna. Is there one that describes money, like wealthy, rich, something like that? Do I have to be more specific?
What a base
oh,
way
Debbie
of looking at things.
Me. I know. So how many? They all describe money.
How about humor?
That's a good guess, but no, not humor.
Oh, wow. What do I do with, how do I do with wealthy or
who wants
rich?
Humor when you have money?
Yeah.
How about single?
No.
No, they don't.
And did you reject mine, my money ones?
None of them are money related.
Oh, okay. Or humor related.
Yeah.
Okay. Intelligent?
No.
Oh. Mature.
If somebody says they're intelligent, mature.
They're not. Yeah,
but they, well, yeah, they're trying too
people
hard.
People say everything.
Yeah.
How about his? He just said mature.
Mature? Now that just means old.
So that's not.
No, not mature, not intelligent.
So what would people say? Like, I think of the things people would want. They'd say responsible,
but I don't think they
would be big sellers.
Yeah.
So not responsible.
Right.
Fun.
How can I? Let's see. Not fun.
Fun?
No.
Not fun.
I'm trying to think what kind of hint I can give you on this.
Are we not close?
Not that close. I'll just read the question once more. According to Match.com, what are the four words that they found have helped men the most find an online partner? What are the four individual words when men describe themselves in their profile?
Sensitive.
Ooh. That's better. Yeah. You're more on the right track now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Here we go. But it's not correct.
But it's not correct. But Jerry's closer.
All right. So it's more in the emotional realm. Than,
yeah. Well, generally speaking, yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Well,
something like a synonym, like empathetic or
compassionate,
like
compassionate, emotive,
yeah,
emotionally available.
Yeah.
No, they don't want these weak men.
Okay, macho,
yeah.
Oh boy.
How about beach, as in long walks on?
No. These are all
healthy.
These are all sort of more emotionally related in a sense, yeah, or generally emotionally related.
Has all my teeth. That's not one.
No,
right?
No.
So I've come the closest. You've come.
You're a little bit closer.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
We're still very far away. Okay, people.
Okay, leave that out. So just once more, according to Match.com, what are the four words that they found have helped men the most in their online profiles to find a partner?
Well, love.
Oh
no, okay. No.
Like
romance.
No.
Okay.
Oh. Yes. It's not romance. It's romantic.
Romantic.
That to you.
That's
romantic.
That's good. We're on top of
okay,
that.
Okay, there you go.
All right, that's one of the four.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there,
Cole?
Yeah, it is you.
Oh, this is Paige in Oakland.
Hi, Paige.
Hi. I didn't call for this particular question, but I would guess listen might be a word that has to do with listening.
No.
Okay.
Good listener. Yeah.
Good try.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I called about the Fugitive Slave Act. There were actually two Fugitive Slave Acts, and since the question had to do with one of our worst presidents, I think it's important that people realize that the first Fugitive Slave Act was passed in 1793, when we had our greatest president by most estimations. George Washington was president. That was the first Fugitive Slave Act. So there were two of them.
Very good.
And I thought I knew the answer with the question about Solzhenitsyn, and I was certain that it was Fort Ross, which, of course, was a
Russian
trading post right over on the coast, right not too far from Jack London State Park. But, of course, Jack London State Park is a much, much better place to visit. Yeah. So anyway, that's all from me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. It's a locally produced quiz show, so we hope you will call up and join us. That number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Feel free to call either one of those numbers with a question or answer. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mark in the Tenderloin.
Hi, Mark.
Hey. I got three guesses on the Match.com question. Strong, integrity, and secure?
No.
No.
No. Strong, integrity, and secure. No.
Okay.
Not as important as you thought, I guess.
Honest. How about honest?
No, not honest.
Okay, so I got some abbreviations that I want you to translate for me. One is there's a disease called COPD, and can you tell me what that stands for?
COT is in
COP. COPD?
Yeah, COPD.
Is it a pulmonary disease? Is that the last two?
Very good. Very good.
That's right. But what's this?
The CO.
Cardio something.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder.
Sounds bad.
That'll do it. Yeah.
All right. That's Debbie gave me that, so that's hers.
Okay. Second one is kids used to, they probably still do, when they chew gum, they call it... sometimes they call it ABC gum. Oh, what is ABC?
Already been chewed. It's classic.
Ooh, yuck.
I know. That was. Yeah. You want a piece of gum or already been chewed, you give them your gum.
Yeah.
These kids.
I did that. That's the kids yesterday, not even the kids today.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the third one is from my niece. She says that people say this quite often. It's YOLO, so YOLO. It's kind of a street.
You only live once.
Yeah.
That's
you
it.
You got it.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Debbie.
Good. Debbie
job.
Do that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's see. Jerry, it's your turn, I believe.
Okay. What is the world's plastic surgery capital? The country.
Well, it's.
Which country?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that means it does the most per capita or something, or people fly there to do that?
It kind of switches around between a couple of different countries in South America, I think. So I'm going to say either Brazil or Venezuela.
And I'm going to say no.
So it's neither one of those?
No.
Okay.
Will we be surprised? Kind of.
I was.
Is it Iraq?
But I'm easily surprised.
Iraq or some? Is it someplace in the Middle East like Iraq?
No.
Because there's a lot.
Not
of,
Iraq.
Okay.
No.
There's a lot of plastic surgery.
I was somewhat surprised.
Or Iran.
Oh, okay. So my next guess would be Argentina.
No.
All right. Okay.
Why are you guessing all this southern South
America? Because they love plastic surgery, especially in Brazil. It's very. I mean, people. Oh. I heard something on NPR that people save up for years to, get their plastic surgery done.
Just look at the time, to repeat the question time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right. Okay, thank you.
I don't mean
thank you for watching the clock. You'll get out of here soon enough. Don't worry. So, yes, we should
repeat.
Well,
he's a little rusty from being
away. I am.
He's still on Swedish
time. Sweden made me more relaxed. Okay, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
What is the world's plastic surgery capital? What country leads?
You still have a couple of people on that list.
List of it. I had a dozen secondary characters in musicals. We've got about half of them. I'm still looking for Tiger Lily, Luther Billis, Will Parker, Madame Armfelt, Minnie Fay, Carrie Pippridge.
Well, let me get Tiger Lily. It's Peter Pan.
That's right.
Let's just send for Tiger Lily. I don't know who played her.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. You have more?
No, that's it.
That's it? Okay.
And I have four lines of poetry. These are the last lines of well-known poems. Fallen, cold, and dead is one. Or does it explode? Sun, moon, stars, rain, and slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. We know it was by Yeats. We need the title.
It's Sailing to Byzantium.
Not that one.
Okay. Was that it for you?
We got May Day. That's it.
Okay. All right. According to Match.com, what are the four words that helped, that they found, helped men the most in their online profiles? So far we have romantic. I think Jerry got that. You got that right. And of the three books, what three books of the Old Testament have been made into films using the titles of those three books? So far we just have Exodus, which was turned into Exodus, Gods and Kings last year, basically. What are the other two books of the Old Testament that have been made into films using the titles of those books? And the story.
Hmm.
Okay. Was that it? I think that was it, yes.
How about just plain old sexy?
No.
Sex or sexy or sexual? Mm-mm. Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, so none of them are not romantic, not sexual. These are in the Match.com ones, right?
Well, they're closer to, you know, emotional or romantic than
right.
sexual.
Well, just doing our best here.
Yeah. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Tiger Lily is from Peter Pan.
That's right. Correct.
Very good. Good.
Or does it explode? Is that from What Happens to a Dream Deferred, Langston Hughes?
It is. Do you know the real name of the poem? Everyone thinks that's
Is it Raisin in the Sun? I know that.
Nope. That's in the poem, too. The name of that poem. Go ahead.
No, it's not A Dream Deferred, then.
Well, no, that's in the poem. That's the first line of the poem,
that's
What Happens
not the
to
title.
A Dream Deferred. Yeah, the title
I don't know the title.
The title is Harlem. So that's very good. But you got it right. It's a famous Langston Hughes poem.
All right.
Very nice.
I just wanted to tell you, when they were talking about Washington signing the Fugitive Slave Act,
mm-hmm.
there's a thing on YouTube called Drunk History. Have you ever seen it?
I've seen one episode of it, yes.
I've seen it.
It's very strange, but there's one woman that really knows history. She's very good. And she tells the story of when Washington's slave ran away and all the lengths he went to try to get her back.
Yeah.
So it's one that's worth watching. A lot of them are not, but...
Well, thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And, Laurie, it's your turn.
It is. I think I have time for this. I looked up some interesting, or to me, game show information. These are all pretty old game shows. So what was the first game show to win a Peabody Award? Okay. I won't tell you their first game show to win a Peabody Award.
What? Really?
Yeah, no kidding. What's My Line? 1950 was the first year it was on TV. Who was the original guest panel? And who was the first mystery guest on the very first show?
Okay, go ahead.
And then the last one is, in the 1950s, one show was the highest rated game show 5 of the 10 years. What show was it?
In the 50s?
From 1950 to 1959, one show was the highest rated show 5 of those 10 years.
Well, the What's My Line, which I was a great devotee of.
Okay, so you not
song, when they too, used to run too, it on the game show channel.
I know a couple of them, but
The first mystery guest, I believe, was Phil Rizzuto.
It was. Sport. That's very good. Okay.
And the panel was
a guy named Block. Not Herb Block.
No,
not in the debut.
Not the
comedian.
First one. The first one was the guy. There was a guy named Hoffman.
There was.
Was he like? I want to say he was like former governor
president.
Of New Jersey or
he
something.
He was the governor of New Jersey. That's one of them.
And was Bennett Cerf on the first chance?
He replaced this guy.
Okay.
Who was like a Bennett Cerf intellectual guy.
Was Dorothy Kilgallen on the first?
Dorothy Kilgallen was on there.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, not Arlene Francis. She wasn't on.
No. Two more men.
I think one was the university president, wasn't it?
No? He might have been. It's definitely an academic and intellectual type.
A well-known name?
Can't think of the other
Pretty
two.
Well-known. Not as well-known as Dorothy Kilgallen.
No.
not
nearly as well-known as Phil Rizzuto.
Yeah. No.
It's kind of a literary person, and then the other one's kind of he's a psychiatrist. That's who I'll say he is. I don't know if that'll give it away. And then the Peabody Award, the first Peabody Award to a game show.
Wow, for a game show?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really a game show. I mean, a game show.
I'm going to say it's a quiz show, if that makes a difference.
Quiz show, that's different.
People answered questions. So it's more like Jeopardy than it's like Wheel of Fortune.
As far as the highest... Okay. The highest rated show in the 50s you talked about for
game show.
5 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't You Bet Your Life.
Was it was. It?
Okay. Yeah, I knew that was a very, very highly rated show in the 50s.
Yeah. The others were $64,000 question, I've Got a Secret, but this is the only one that won five times.
The Peabody
Great show.
Okay, so we're looking for Peabody and the two other panelists for What's My Line.
What year did they win the Peabody Award?
1960.
Oh. 1960.
And it was kind of a quiz show, but game show aspect.
People had, like Jeopardy, they had, and like Minds Over Matter, they had to know really important information to succeed.
Information Please was on TV for a while, but,
not,
not that
late.
Yeah,
but not in the 60s, yeah.
That's... But it's more of that, more like that.
That kind of show, yeah.
Okay. Was this show on for a while?
Mm-hmm. We all watched it.
But it wasn't Jeopardy.
No.
Okay, all right.
Or
think about
that. Consequences.
Yeah, very good. Right.
Yeah, Queen for a Day. No.
That was the second one.
That was the second one to win the Peabody. Where you told the saddest story possible to win the Washington.
Oh, yeah. That was good, God. Yes. The more maudlin, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I think the cosmetic capital of the world came up twice before. It's South Korea.
That's right. Twice before. You're keeping score, eh?
Third round.
For Jerry, the answer to Madame Arne and for Nancy Felt is that she is the patron saint of dentists. She said to lose a husband or a lover or two during one's lifetime can be vexing, but to lose one's teeth is a catastrophe.
And, no, that's not correct. That's a good quote. That's from the importance of being earnest.
But he had
Desiree's mother, and I bet Jerry doesn't know because I don't know what her first name was.
Said a Little Night Music is what he said was the.
Oh
answer.
Yeah, Little Night Music is the Hermione Gingold character.
Said that.
I didn't hear
him
say that.
But you don't know who.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't.
I have one question. There was a story a couple of days ago from Donetsk that. During the bombardment between separatists and the Ukrainian troops, they had a performance of Il Trovatore to a full house. And it happened several times in history before that during the war, the arts go on. There was a mention of the airport in Donetsk, which is under, is being bombarded, etc. What is the name of the airport in Donetsk? The name of somebody who was born there and somebody who is really well known to all of us.
Where is this country? I'm sorry.
Oh, this is the Donetsk. This is the disputed area of the Ukraine that is
Putin does.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So the airport is named after somebody who's very well known.
A native son, an ethnic Russian, born in Ukraine, in Donetsk, and it surprised the hell out of me because...
It's not Khrushchev, is it?
No, it's a composer.
Oh, okay. So, composer.
Rimsky-Korsakov.
No.
And an ethnic Russian.
Well-known?
Very.
So Tchaikovsky. Known.
Just yesterday I went to San Francisco Ballet performance... composer was this gentleman.
Tchaikovsky.
No.
No.
Because I have a quick second part to this, I'm going to tell you it's Prokofiev.
Oh.
Okay. It's the Donetsk Sergei Prokofiev International Airport. So I said, he is the only composer they have an airport named after. So I looked it up, and there are 10.
Oh, my God.
And we are not going to do that, obviously. But I'm going to give you just a couple of places, see if you can logically named the composer or musician it's named after. How about Liverpool?
John Lennon.
Yes, the John Lennon International Airport.
I was just being smart.
Yeah.
How about, that's an easy one, Salzburg.
Mozart.
Yeah, Mozart International Airport. Right. I had no idea about this.
Yeah.
Warsaw is this.
That's Chopin.
Yes, Warsaw is. And then finally, Budapest.
List, I think.
Yes, Franz Liszt International Airport.
That's great.
Good for us.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You
bye-bye.
Would know.
And, all right, my turn here. Let's see. Okay. What was the first building that was taller than the Great Pyramid at Giza? What was the first building built that was actually taller than the Great Pyramid at Giza?
How tall was that?
Well, it was less important than the fact that it was taller than the Great Pyramid of Giza.
The Woolworth Building.
No.
I don't know.
That's the Utah building.
I don't know.
It was built in 1280 AD.
1280 AD.
I have visited it, and you may have at some point. I don't know. But what was the first building that was actually taller than the Great Pyramid of Giza?
Built in 1280.
Taj Mahal.
No,
it's not tall enough.
I don't think so.
It's an old building.
Yes.
Okay. Old building. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a good question.
Figure that out. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Minds Over Matter, also toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Listen, a while ago you were talking about Ede was talking about, is that too much of an echo?
No, it's okay.
Ede was saying who was the only prophet who was not something or other.
Mentioned in the Quran.
It was mentioned in the Bible.
Right? Bible.
Right.
Yeah, well, Muhammad is a prophet, okay, but he needed to be born before the Bible was canonized, the Old Testament, which was a couple of hundred years B.C., before the Common Era.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say he couldn't. He's about 800 years too late.
Oh, I see.
He got included. Okay.
Good point. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next call.
We have such scholars out there.
We do.
Yes.
We do.
Boy. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So are the four words, I'll like your cat,
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. So those would work like a charm.
The Yeats poem was entitled Harlem.
Yes.
But the Yeats poem.
Yes.
So like Dana, I always think that that one is Sailing to Byzantium because slouches toward Bethlehem alliterates with Sailing to Byzantium, but it is the Second Coming.
It is the Second Coming.
Oh,
thank
right.
you. Give him a bell.
Thank
and
you.
He got Harlem, too.
Thank
Good.
You for making me feel a bit better about what I'm
Okay, what is missing from this group? Grumby, Grant, Hinckley, Howell, Summers.
Grumby? Was that the first one?
Uh-huh.
Grumby, Grant, Hinckley, once more?
Hinkle.
Grumby, Grant, Hinckley, Howell, and Summers. And I'll give you a hint if you need
Yeah, we need a hint.
I could have said Grumby, Grant, Hinckley, Howell, Howell, and Summers.
That's Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
And so...
Skipper Jonas Grumby, Ginger Grant, Jason Howell, Lovey Howell, Roy Hinckley, Assistant Professor, and Marianne Summers.
You both ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Okay, well, I get accused of raising the level of the show, so I want to show where my roots really are.
Well, you got the second raised coming in math. That's pretty
see,
great.
They just, and lowered it.
They're putting down the answer because I knew it, you know?
So what was missing? Who was missing? Gilligan.
Gilligan.
Yeah.
Gilligan, right.
There you go.
Yeah. Jonas Grumby. That was
slouching towards name. Gilligan's Island, I think is where we are.
Think of the possibilities if Yeats were alive today. Okay, follow-up question.
Yes.
How did the Kennedy assassination affect the first season of Gilligan's Island?
Huh.
This can't go well.
Ah.
Did it delay like its opening episode in 63 or something?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, the first episode was in black and white, or the first season was in black and white, I think. But I don't think it had anything to do with that.
Wasn't there a scene with a photo of Kennedy in the background?
Not that I know of.
Okay, I'm thinking of something else then. Okay.
No, we do not know.
So the show's pilot finished filming on November 22nd, 1963.
Oh, wow.
And as a result, in the opening credits for the whole first season, you can see an American flag flying at half staff.
Oh,
it was unintentional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good week.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
I think you might be looking for the Book of Ruth.
Yes, actually called The Story of Ruth in the movie version.
Yeah.
But yes, very good. Ilana Ilan, I believe, was the name of the actress who played Ruth.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And is the building you're looking for the Duomo in Florence?
It is not.
Okay. And I have an acronym for you.
Okay.
CDQ. What does it mean? How is it used?
CDQ.
CDQ.
Does this have anything to do with SOS and Mayday?
Yes.
What was it? It was what was SOS replaced. Is that it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And
good job.
God, what did it stand? It did stand for something, right?
Something damn quick?
Yep.
Cancel damn quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come damn quick.
Okay. And SOS replaced it because I think it was easier to do as a Morse code thing. Is that it?
It was easier to stroke the CDQ, but easier to remember SOS.
Okay.
For a trained telegrapher.
Okay. Very good. I remembered that.
Good job.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Hillary in Nob Hill.
Hi.
I have one answer and a guess.
Okay.
The Sun, Moon, Rain poet,
yes.
poem was E.E. Cummings. Anyone lived in a pretty hotel?
Oh, very good.
Oh, very
Sun,
good.
Moon, Stars, Rain. What'd you say?
It's my mother's favorite.
Oh, well, that's really nice of you to remember. That's terrific.
And for the building taller than Giza?
Yes.
Just guessing, is it the Tower of London?
It is not the Tower of London.
All right. And I was going to say cats for the match.com, but that didn't work. All right,
nothing with
you.
Cats.
Thank you.
No cats in the list.
All right. No cats in
Loves,
the list.
How about pets?
Time to clean up here.
All right.
What do we got? Jerry?
Okay. The remaining secondary characters from musicals are Luther Billis.
That's South Pacific.
South Pacific, yeah.
So
Ray Walston.
We got nothing like a dame. Yeah.
Yeah. Myron McCormick.
Oh, Myron McCormick. Sorry. Myron McCormick. Ray Walston in the movie.
Yeah. There's nothing like that. Will Parker.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, he's the Gene Nelson character in the movie Will Parker. He sings Everything's Up to Date in Kansas City.
Right.
Minnie Faye.
I didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
she's a milliner in Hello, Dolly.
Okay, good.
Carrie Pepperidge. Pepperidge.
Carousel.
She's who?
Carousel.
No, she's Julie Jordan's best friend in Carousel.
Oh,
Carousel.
Very nice. That's what she said.
Okay. Okay, and Vera Simpson, I realize I was right. She is the character in Palejoy. The woman you're thinking of in Mame is Vera Charles.
Oh, all right. Good
very
job.
Nice.
Okay.
That's it.
That's
all right.
I have the last line of Fallen, Cold, and Dead belongs to Captain, My Captain by Walt Whitman.
Oh.
The original cast of What's My Line include you got Dorothy Kilgallen. And Harold Hoffman. Dr. Richard Hoffman was a psychiatrist, and Louis Untermyer, the famous poet.
Oh, yes, the poet, yeah.
And the first game show to win a Peabody Award, College Bowl.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. The first building taller than the Great Pyramid of Giza, built in 1280, was Lincoln Cathedral in England. According to Match.com, what are the four words that help man the most in an online profile? Heart, children, romantic relationship.
Oh, yeah, should have got children.
The three books of the Old
Testament. Cats rather than children.
Yeah, the three books of the Old Testament, the one nobody got, Esther and the King, the Book of Esther. And, of course, when you think of Bible stories, you think of Joan Collins, who played Esther.
I do.
Yeah, yes. So if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matters here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman and from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling everything else. Above all, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye. If it ain't dry.